without Him. I cannot stand without Him. Do you know, we've been talking over the last several weeks, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, no, we ain't doing this. Over the last several weeks, we've been talking quite intently about experiencing God. I want you, I desire you to know Him. Amen? And He desires you to know Him. He wants you to experience Him in the fullness of your life. He wants you to enter in to sweet communion with Him. He wants you. He wants, and when God wants something, guess what? He'll make it happen. Amen? And He wants you. I guess that's it. He wants you. And He has provided us a way that we could fully have Him. Amen? He's provided us a way that we could know Him, that we can communicate with Him. Have you ever loved somebody and not talked to them? You know? Amen? It happens. But what does that do to us? I got two boys I love deeply. They won't communicate with me. And it breaks my heart. It's not that I don't want to reach out to them. I reach out to them. But if they don't reach back, I cannot make them. Something that, as y'all know, the Lord laid on my heart several months ago. The words, I can't make you love me. And God won't make you love Him. He offers you love. He offers you an experience. He offers you life and that everlasting. He offers you all of these things. He offers you communion with Him. Right? But He's not going to make you take it. But if you go with Him, He will fill you with more than you can. You will experience the fullness of God in all that He is. And that's what He wants us to know. This study that I went over years and years ago that really made a change in my life is called Experiencing God, Knowing and Doing the Will of God by Henry Blackaby. And we've gone over most of this. We've been in God Speaks for several weeks now because I think this is the most important thing is God speaks. Now, Him speaking is more important than you speaking. Amen? What He's got to say is more important than what you got to say. And so God is always at work. He has a plan. God has a plan from the very beginning, before He made the foundations of the world. God had a plan, amen, to create and then to make that or have that creation come back to Him on their own accord, right? And that's His plan, all right. And so sin came in and broke the relationship between God and man. So God had a plan, amen. He said, I myself will be your sacrifice. That's what He told Abraham. I will bring the sacrifice myself. And then Abraham found the ram that was caught in a hedge of thorns about its head. And so Abraham didn't have to sacrifice his son. God prepared and made a sacrifice for him. Later throughout history, Jesus came, the perfect Lamb of God, to die for my sin. That we could have He would repair that relationship between God and man. And He did. And then through my love relationship with God, God gives me an opportunity through an invitation to be involved in what He's doing. In God's plan, not my plan, in God's plan. He invites us to be in that. And then through that invitation, God starts to speak to us. I mean, He really starts to communicate, to come down and really work in our lives in such a way, or invite us to be in working in His will, His plan, in such a way that it draws us to Him and makes a hunger and thirst if we're in a right relationship with Him, for Him. Amen? And so this is the way that God speaks as a pattern in Scripture. A is knowing that God speaks. B is God speaks by the Holy Spirit. Amen? He speaks through the Bible. That's why last week I told you need to really spend some serious time reading your Bible. And I hope that everybody here did last week, that you took a little bit of time and you got you a notepad. And because I told you how I read my Bible, I read it and I always, wherever I read my, wherever my Bible is, there's a scratch pad very close and a pencil. All right, because I never know when God's going to show me something, reveal something to me in Scripture. And I don't know if you're like me or I'm like you, but how often do you forget when something's told you? Amen? I wish someone was here that I didn't know their name. Oh, you're all here. No. I have a hard time remembering things, right? And so I jot things down. So as I read the Bible, the Holy Spirit speaks to me through those Scriptures. He tells me to be holy because He's holy, amen? He tells me that He loves me, He died for me, and He expects me to walk in righteousness with Him, amen? Those are some of the things that I know, though, that the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, tells me what's right and what's wrong. Tells us in Galatians chapter 5, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen? So He's asking us to obey Him, to walk in Him. If we walk in the Spirit, then we have the fruit of the Spirit dwelling in us and waiting to come out. And so God is trying to draw that out of us. He does it through the Bible. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, He will never speak contrary to His written Word. Amen? Do you know that? So if you're reading, if you think that the Lord has spoke to you and He said, I want you to steal something. All right? That's not God. Amen. Because the Bible says, thou shalt not steal, right? And so God will never tell you to do something that is contrary to His Word. Right? And then He also speaks through prayer, and that's where we're going to be talking today. God speaks through prayer. You read your Bible, you pray. And do you know that you get guidance when you pray? The question is do you pray in a way that you can hear the Word, that you can hear God? He wants to talk to you, and He has the Word of God, the Bible, right? This book right here, if you read this, He'll speak to you through this. Amen? From Genesis to the Revelation, I got news for you, and it's good. Amen? It's the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's found in the Word of God. But then there's a more intimate relationship that He wants with you, where He comes to you and you're praying. He says, Mary, I want to talk to you. I love you. Let me give you something special. I want to speak to you. Right? Then we got to be in a position where we can hear what He has to say. We got to be in a position that we can understand what who here has a hard time understanding God when He speaks? Amen? And I'll go today as we get into this. I'll try to explain why it becomes hard for us to hear, especially through prayer. I mean, we talked about a song this morning in Sunday school that, Todd Agnew. I wish God still wrote on wall of bricks, on stone. I wish that He still spoke through burning bushes. I wish that He still wrote with His finger on the wall. Not that that did any good for them, you know, but I wish it was just plain. I wish He would just grab me sometimes by the collar and say, wake up, son, I got to talk to you. Sit down, shut up, and listen to me. Who here has told their kid that? Amen? Amen. Right? Did it do any good? Probably not. Because we don't listen that way. And God knows this, that we don't listen that way. Today's title of the message is Prayer, God Speaking to Us. Amen? It tells us in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27, the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, amen, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not how we should pray for as what we should pray for as we ought to, or as we ought. But the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And in verse 27, He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's what the Holy Spirit does when we're praying. The Holy Spirit helps you to pray. Isn't that a good thing? Because it tells me right in the Word of God, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what God wants. Amen? The Word of God says, you pray with belief, you pray with faith, and I'll fulfill that prayer, right? Well, first, I don't know the mind of God short of the Word of God. All right? But the Holy Spirit, He does know the mind of God. And so the Holy Spirit speaks to us in ways to us from the Father in ways interprets for us. Let me put it that way. Because my own selfish desires often get caught up in my prayers. Amen? God, I want this. You know, I want my son not to be sent in another place. I want him to go there. I want my son to walk in obedience to you. I want. Well, God's saying, well, you know, Not that I don't want him to walk in obedience to me, but I've got to bring him through some dark places before he can see the light. Amen? Right? And that happened in my life. Anybody else experience that? Amen. I had to go through the desert place before I could get to the watering hole. Amen. So God knew that. He knew my heart. He knew who I was. And he wanted to bring me through that. He wanted to know, let me know that he was God in all of those things. So even as I pray as a Christian, as a what I would consider a mature Christian, but God would say, you're not so mature. Amen. What I would consider mature, but he thinks different than I do. He knows how to take my selfish prayers and change my heart to where they're more gracious prayers. Amen. And he changes me. It doesn't change God's mind what I pray. My prayers change me. All right. And that's what God's trying to do. The Holy Spirit helps us to when we pray. And if we will listen, we can hear instructions because that's what the Holy Spirit's there to do. He is to guide us. Amen. The Holy Spirit searches the heart and he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. Amen. So when I pray for something, ask for something, if it ain't God's will, guess what God's going to say? No. You know why? It's not his. My will's not his will. Amen. What I want may not be what he wants. I personally, although we talk about suffering for Jesus Christ, I really don't want to. You know, I'm not saying, yay, throw me in jail. All right. I don't want to be tied to a stake and caught on fire. I don't want that. But it's not my will. It's his will that needs to be done. Jesus said, if there's any other way, take this cup from me. God, Father, if there's any other way besides me going to the cross, take this cup from me. But nevertheless, not my will. And Jesus prayed that, not my will, but thy will be done. Okay, so Jesus said, although I know it's going to hurt, I will go through this. The Holy Spirit speaks to us in prayer, but we need to position ourselves in a way that we can hear him better. We can hear his instruction. What the Spirit tells us in John chapter 16 and verse 13, when he, the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Isn't that good news? So who's going to do the guiding? The Holy Spirit. Where is he going to guide me into? All the truth. What is all the truth? The Word. What is the Word? His name is Jesus. So the Holy Spirit from God is going to come and he's going to give me some instruction. And he's not going to give me instruction in unrighteousness. He's going to give me instruction in righteousness. He's going to guide me into the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Our problem is we get our minds in the way we think it ought to do, ought to be, not the way that God says it should be. The Word of God, if we're not in a position of obedience or at least a willingness to make adjustments to how we're being guided, you probably won't hear what the Spirit says to you. You know, you might. Have you ever heard something you said, that can't be God? And you find out later that that was God. You know, God would never ask me to suffer. You know, well, tell that to the folks that are around the world that are being crucified for Christ every day. God would never ask me to suffer. Well, tell that to the apostles. Tell that to Paul, who said that we must enter into the sufferings of Christ. Amen. If we want to share in his glory, we got to go into. But nobody wants that, right? Not yet. Not in America, anyhow. But it's coming. See, we probably don't hear because when God first started speaking to us when we were itty-bitty baby Christians, we didn't have the faith or didn't want to walk in the obedience that he's called us to. And here's a scenario I want to lay out before you. And let me see, when I thought about this, it made sense to me. It may not make sense to you. All right. For instance, I'm praying right now. I want to make sure, because this is me. This isn't Scripture, all right? So this is why I'm praying about it. For instance, you go and you go to your loved one, your spouse, your child, and you walk in every day and you say, hi, whoever you are, me, my. Okay. I walk into the place and I say, feed me, help me, clean me, fix me, right? And then just as you're ready to give them the information that they want, they walk out and they slam the door. Alright, so, alright, here we are as children of God, and we come before the Lord and we say, help me, feed me, fix me. Right? And before God has any, before He tells us anything, we say amen and close the door. Alright? And so the next morning we get up and we walk and say, Lord, help me, fix me, save me, do this, me, my. And just as God's about ready to show you something, tell you something, you get up and you shut the door and you walk away. After a while, the Holy Spirit says, hey, I'm trying to talk to you, but our ears begin to get dull. And once they start to get dull, they get duller and duller and duller, and it becomes harder and harder and harder to hear. Right? So the further we walk away, the harder it is to hear. The more we leave Him, the harder it is to come back to Him. Have you ever experienced that? I have in my life, and I guess that's why what I'm trying to say. God doesn't want us to walk away from Him. He wants us to walk to Him. Amen? He's not desiring that we ever leave His presence or leave His grace, but we would always continually be drawing closer and closer. The closer you are to somebody, the more you hear them. Right? The more that you understand how they talk, the more... I don't speak the same language y'all do. We speak the same language, but I say weird things that y'all don't understand sometimes until you get to know me. Sayings like, fits like socks on a rooster. Right? And unless you've been around that, you don't know what I'm talking about. You know, what do you mean? Roosters don't wear socks. But until you around me a little bit, my wife, she's come to know some of my, what do you call it, idioms? Yeah, she's come to know some of those things about me, but she came to know that because we spend time together and we listen to each other, you know, and so we get to know each other's voice and the inflection of our voice. And we get, the more we hear each other, more we hang out with each other, the better off we know one another. And in experiencing God, it's all about the relationship. The more you hang out with Him, the better you hear Him. The more you read the Word of God, the more you hear from the Word of God. The more you obey what you hear, the clearer it becomes to you every time. Right? The more you, when God tells you the small things to make those small adjustments in your life, and you say, yes, God, I'll make that small adjustment, then He says, I know that my child hears me now. I'm going to give him more and deeper instructions the next time. Right? And so the closer you, the more I serve Him, the sweeter He grows. Right? The more time you spend with God, the better it is. But when we decide to shut that, make our request, and we shut the door, we start quenching the Spirit. And the Bible tells us specifically, do not quench the Spirit. Amen? And that's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It says, quench not the Spirit and despise not prophecy. Don't despise the Word of God, even if the Word, especially if the Word of God tells you something that's uncomfortable to you. Amen? Don't despise that. Embrace it. Because if the Word of God tells me that something is wrong in my life, that's the Holy Spirit telling me to walk closer to Him. All right? When I read something in the Word of God and it says, I don't know, there's so many works of the flesh I could have gone through. Witchcraft. All right? Now I'm not, Halloween's coming up. I guess that's why that's popped in my mind. Witchcraft. Don't have no part of witchcraft. Don't be a part of sorcery, you know, drug use, stuff like that. Well, when the Holy Spirit tells me that and I say, yes, God, I won't have any part of that. Yes, God, I won't get involved in the alcohol, the drugs, that kind of stuff. And I say, yes, God, and I start walking with Him. It's easier to hear Him the next time He tells me to do something. Right? And so the more that you obey Him, the better and the more you know about Him. The more you know about Him, the closer you will be with Him. The closer you are with Him, the more and the further you can go with Him. Amen? So it's all about the love relationship. Do you really love God enough to listen to the invitation and to adjust your life to whatever He says? The more you adjust your life to what He says, the further you can go with the Lord. But every time you say, no, God, not your way, God, but my way, then you start to quench the Spirit. What happens when you quench a fire? It goes out. Right? When you take a fire, you start smothering it, you start pouring water onto a fire, it goes out. Right? And so when the Holy Spirit's telling us to do something and we say, no, God, that's like pouring water on your fire. And it starts going out. And it will continue to go out until it completely and totally dies. It tells us, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and just verse 27 and following, we'll read down some. Chapter 4, 27, say amen when you get there. Amen. I'm going to go up a little bit before that. And say 25, we'll go start in 24. The more you read this, the further you can back up. It's all good. So read all of chapter 4 when you get home. But for our point that we're making today about quenching the Spirit and walking in righteousness, we'll start in verse 24. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, wait a second. Check that out. You're supposed to put on the new man. It has a new creation, the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Tells us to live holy there, right? You understand that? Verse 25, 4. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one to another. It says in verse 26, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that's in need. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use and the edifying, that it may minister to the grace of the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed to the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another and tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake forgave you. So grieve not the Holy Spirit. See, if we allow our flesh, our bitterness, our anger, our wrath, our clamor, our evil speaking, if we allow that to rule in our life, then we're grieving the Holy Spirit. All right, God tells us to walk in righteousness because He's holy. He tells us through the Word of God, and He gives us the Spirit of God that guides us into how much truth? All truth. And truth is that we are here to love one another. There are two great commandments. Love the Lord God with everything you have, and then love your neighbor as you love yourself. Right? Those are the things that are going to draw us closer into the communing with God. Remember, truth is not a concept. It's actually a person. Have you ever thought of that? Truth as a person? John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. When Jesus, He made this statement, He was revealing who He is. Amen? Not just what He was about. Jesus didn't say, I'm about truth. No, He said, I am truth. He didn't say that I'm about the way. He says, I am the way. You want to get to the Father? You got to know the way. Jesus said, I am that way. You want kingdom? You want treasures in the kingdom? Then you got to go the way of the Holy Ghost leads you. Remember, the Holy Ghost only talks about Jesus, right? He only shows you the truth. Jesus said that He is the way, He is the truth, He is the life. He's not about the way, He's not about truth, or about life. He is the actual thing that makes the difference in our life. And if we really want to be used by God, we need to put ourselves in a position of obedience to the written Word of God so that we can receive what the Spirit has to tell us, and we walk in what the Spirit tells us, which brings glory to the Father. Amen? Does that make sense? So it's not that our obedience makes us more righteous, but we have righteousness because we obey. Amen? That the world can see the righteousness of the Father in us because we obey the written Word and we obey what the Spirit of God tells each of us. And do you know if you're born again that you hear the Spirit of God? Amen. Now the question is do you obey the Spirit of God when you hear it? Because if you obey Him, you walk closer with Him. And the closer you walk with Him, the more you obey Him. See how it grows? It feeds off of one another? Jesus said, and I like that because when Jesus says, that kind of finishes the subject. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, I have come that you might have life. Oh, excuse me, I skipped some stuff there. I do that from time to time. Jesus said that I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Amen. If you are walking in the way, if you're walking in the truth, if you're walking in the life, guess what you have? Abundant life. Amen. You don't just have the regular life that everybody else in the world has, but you can have an abundance of the Word of God, an abundance of life. Jesus said, and this is eternal life, John 17, verse 3. This is life eternal. Excuse me, I have that backwards. This is life eternal, that you might, that they might know thee, Jesus talking, that we might know the Father and the only true God and Jesus whom thou hast sent. The whole reason that Jesus came to the earth is that we would know Him and know more about the Father through Him. He sent us the Holy Spirit to fill up our hearts until the day that He returns. Because remember, it says that we are sealed with the Spirit of God until the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us, leads us into all of the way, leads us into all of the truth and all of the life, which is Christ Jesus. So if we'll pray, we enter into the relationship, we welcome the invitation of obedience, the Holy Spirit speaks to us through the Word and by prayer. The more we pray and the more we obey what the Spirit tells us through the identifying of what the Spirit tells us, the closer we grow with God. The closer we grow with God, the more that He uses us. All right? The more that He uses you, the more you are found faithful to Him, the more you are faithful to Him, the more glory He receives out of you. Amen? So, do you really want to experience God is the question. Because if you really want to experience Him, you will adjust your life to what the Word of God says. How many times are you alone with God? I mean, really alone with God. Shut off the noise in the house. Amen. Turn off your cell phones, your smartphones. They are smartphones, but they make stupid people. Amen. Turn off your smartphones. All right. And the reason I say that, because you need the quietness of God. Now, a lot of folks say, I use my smartphone to read my Bible. Well, here's a concept. Read your Bible. Amen. Just, it has pages and words on it. Shut it down around you. Turn off the noise. All right? If you need to, my wife told me a great thing. She went just the other day. She's preparing to speak at the women's conference. And she went to a breakfast with a lady. And then after the breakfast, she found a park that she hadn't been to in a long time. No radio. No hoopla on the outside. Quietness. Quietness with God. And the Holy Spirit spoke to her. When I really hear from the Holy Spirit, it's when I do a lot of studying here in my office. And I listen to classical music. I do, because I'm out of the Led Zeppelin thing. I'm out of the ZZ Top thing. I'm out of the country and western thing. I'm even out of the hoopla music that they play on, radio stations that they play around here. And so I've gone all the way back to classical. I listen to cello music. Oh, boring pastor. Right? But even in doing that, I don't hear God. Although it's calming, it's peaceful stuff. You know when I really hear God is when I shut all the noise off. I turn off my iPad because that's the only computer I have. I turn off my iPad. I open the Bible and I hear Him. Amen? I make an adjustment in my life that turns off all of the noise around me to hear Him. And when you hear Him, then you get off out of your desk and you do where you look where He's at work and you adjust your life to that. And God uses you more and more and more and more that way. It's beautiful that folks use their iPad to study their Bible, but it's better when they study their Bible. All right? I think we're missing something in this electronical age. the quiet personal relationship that God has for us, I believe, anyhow. One of our problems that we have is we often think in concepts. And let me explain what I'm talking about here in concepts. We think in concept. The idea, the definition of a concept is an abstract idea representing the fundamental characteristics of what it represents. You understand what he says? A concept is like looking at a picture. That picture represents the real thing, but it's not the real thing. Amen? And often we surround our prayers and our communication and our relationship with God in concepts of what the real thing is, but not the real thing. Right? We have God in our image. Well, when I read Genesis, we didn't make God in our image. God made us in His image. All right? So we need to start thinking a little bit differently than what we presently think at this time and this time that we're living in. God has called us, God speaks, He reveals truth to us, right? He reveals not a concept, but facts. And the Holy Spirit leads us to the person, not a thought. Amen? The Holy Spirit is leading us to a real live person that's seated on the right hand of the Father. It's a real person, not a thought of a person. And that person is a truth, not a thought of the truth. He is the real truth, not the concept of truth. Jesus is truth, not a concept. And when one is born again, really and truly converted, God gives us eternal life. Not the concept of life everlasting, but a real, tangible person, Jesus the Christ, you don't get called to salvation, but you're rather called to a person. Amen? And we often think, well, I want to be called to salvation. No. You want to be called to a relationship with a real person, and in that relationship of the real person is salvation, right? Jesus said, "I came that the Father sent me that I might show the world the Father, and they would know me." And then when Jesus left, He said, "I'm sending you a Comforter, and that Comforter is going to tell you everything about me, and I'm telling you everything about the Father." So everything about the Father was told to us by Jesus. When Jesus left, He sent the Comforter, and everything about Jesus was led to us or told us by the Holy Spirit, which in return tells us about the Father. And so do you see the cascading effect of relationship? That God wants us to know Him personally, so He sent His only begotten Son. The only begotten Son wanted us to know truth that leads to everlasting life, which is a person, so He sent us the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, direct us into all of the truth. But we got to position ourselves to hear. I've told y'all this before. When my wife wants to tell me something, and I know that she's serious, she's not talking about what she's making for breakfast on Sunday morning, right? She's telling me something that is important. She said, "Curtis, I got something to tell you." You know, first thing I do, shut off the noise. If I'm listening to the radio, I shut the radio down. If we're listening, watching something during supper time, we turn off that thing, and I listen to what she has to say. Right? And the same thing the Holy Spirit says. I have something to tell you about Jesus Christ. Turn off the distractions. If you really want to hear, if you really want the Holy Spirit to speak to you, if you really want to know what He's saying, go into your closet and pray. Amen? I don't know about y'all, but most closets I know don't have cable TV. Amen? Right? I know we have smartphones now. You can bring it into your closet. No, you go to your closet and you pray and you seek the Lord. You bring your Bible, you seek the Lord, and He reveals truth to you. And now once truth is revealed to you, you've got a responsibility. Amen? You either obey Him or you don't. If you obey Him, you get to know Him more. If you don't, then you don't get to know Him more. Right? And it's so... This concept, this love relationship that Jesus is continually calling us into, it's deep and it's personal. Like I said earlier, prayer way too often is us talking, asking favors and blessings for our plans. The example I have is give me, bless me, grant me. After we pour out what we expect God to give us, we most often quickly turn around and slam the door. And then we go on about our own business, not really expecting an answer from God. And you know what? If you're not expecting an answer, you probably ain't going to get one. You know? You got to expect it. Do you really believe that God's going to talk to you? Now, it takes faith. Amen? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So do you believe Him? When Jesus said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, no man will snatch you out of my hand, do you believe that? Do you believe it enough to make adjustments and walk in righteousness? I believe it. As long as I walk with Him, I'll never be taken out of His hand. Amen? As long as I obey His word, I'll never be taken out of His hand. There's not an angel, there's not a principality, there's not a power that will take me away from Christ. As long as I love Him and I walk in obedience to Him. And it's not about me, because I can't do it in and of myself. Amen? Only the Holy Spirit can help me to do that. And the only way that I can be helped to do that is to obey whatever the Holy Spirit tells me to. So you know that God is speaking. Who here knows they're going to sin before they do it? Right? Don't you? Sin doesn't sneak up on me. It really doesn't. When God tells me way in advance, Curtis, you're about ready to get angry. You need to change your attitude right now, son. If you don't, you're going to go to a place, and when you go to that place, you're on your own. Right? All right? I don't want you to go there. Listen to me. Calm down. Take a deep breath. Count to 20. Count to 100. Count to a million. Whatever it takes. Come back and get into my word and calm your hot self down. Amen? And I have a choice at that point. Amen? I have a choice to go forward in anger, or to calm down and walk with Jesus Christ. If I calm down and walk with Jesus Christ, I get to know Him better. Amen? If I choose to do my thing, my own will, my own way, my own anger, I know Him less. Not that God doesn't love me. He does. He loves me. He absolutely loves me. And I know that. But He asked me to walk in obedience to what He says. If I don't walk in obedience, that's pretty much as far as it goes, right? We ain't got time. We'll come back to this next week also, because I love you. I love you enough. I think this is important enough that we're dwelling here on God's speech a little while. Because without hearing from God, we won't know the direction that we need to go. I know what God has told me about this town. All right? I know what God called me here to do. And I know that you guys are here because the Holy Spirit brought you here. Right? And I know because God has told me so that He's going to do something great in this town. I also know through experiencing God that He's building the character of the people that He's going to do it through. All right? God takes time to build us because He loves us. All right, Lord, there's so many things. Just when I said that, the Holy Spirit showed me like 15 scriptures to go to. All right? And, you know, they all boil down to this one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things I'll take care of. That's not an exact quote, but that's what He's saying. I got you. If you'll seek me and seek me first, I got you back. I don't only have your back, I got your front. I got your sides, I got your ups, your downs, I got you. So walk with me. Trust me. Hear what the Spirit of God says to you. And then make adjustments in your life to what He says. And you will come to know Him better. You might know Him good right now. Who can know God better? Ooh, I could. I could know Him better. The only way I'm going to know Him better is to listen to what He says, to be an obedient child to His calling. And that's what He wants out of you. That's what He wants out of me, is for us to know Him. I got through half of this. Next week we'll go through the other half, okay? God speaks through the Holy Spirit. Jesus, we thank you so much. I thank you, Father God, for speaking to us, for leading us into your righteousness, for allowing us to know you, the one true God. Father, we need you, and we need to hear your voice. We need you, and we pray, Father, that you would move mighty in this group of people to glorify you in all things. Father, we thank you for the time, and I pray that you would continually open our hearts up, that you would continually move in us in such a way that you would be glorified. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, help us to see you the way you are, and help us to see us the way that we are, and guide us, Father, in all things. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.